You are listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls deal with a blue pill world. I'm your host, John Dennison, and together we'll explore how to take an inner approach to your outer affairs so you can build a better life and a better world to live it in. Hi, John here. Thanks for joining me today. Before we start, please like, share, and tweet this program so others can hear it too. You can catch past podcasts on iTunes or at DennisonRocks.com and can read more about my work at PeaceOptions.com. As you may recall, our last episode was on the awakening servers, those individuals awakening to the call of their inner voice to add some contribution to a new world. If you didn't catch it, I'd suggest you try to do so later. It's all based on a non-physical source of life that whispers guidance to us in this linear three-dimensional reality. A source that is leading not only to our own awakening, but the awakening of humanity as a whole. These awakening servers are its vanguard, sent to pave the way for the rest of us to follow. Today we're going to go a step farther and talk about a closely related event that's now underway that we'll call the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening is the socio-political manifestation of millions of people around the world responding to a growing dissatisfaction with the status quo. This doesn't mean they're all servers, or even that they're awakening to this inner source. Rather, they're acting out of their discontent with the way things are, causing many to participate in a multitude of movements that challenge the status quo and demand more from government around the globe. These movements take many forms and are hardly homogeneous. Recall the Arab Spring a few years back. People were rebelling against tyrannical governments that denied their freedom, prosperity, and in many cases, human dignity. Spontaneous uprisings that triggered set the whole world on its head. Behind it all was a simple desire to be included in a world that is increasingly advanced, yet at the same time, more hostile and distant. What about us? They ask. It's also behind the desire for change that we see so often in our political affairs. Remember Obama's "A Change You Can Believe In" and Trump's "Make America Great Again" slogans? Unfortunately, as we've seen, politicians often play on our hunger for change to garner support so they can keep getting our votes without ever delivering on their promises. In most cases, it's just a political ploy by which they manipulate us into giving them power while giving us little more than lip service in return. And the real change that's needed goes unfulfilled, leaving us to be even more angry and frustrated with the status quo. And things are reaching a boiling point. Unfortunately, this growing unrest is used by the powers that be in their media shows to channel our rage into causes that pit us against each other and cement their hold on power. As but one example, witness the recent gun control efforts after the Parkland school shootings. CNN and other media sources quickly pounced on the survivors to give voice to students that spoke out for stricter gun laws while disregarding the FBI and sheriff's incompetence that allowed it to happen. Worse, they ignored and even suppressed students who had other views that were more favorable to the Second Amendment. Why? Because it fit the narratives they and their benefactors had been pushing to disarm the populace while silencing dissenting voices, all to gain more control over the people. Yet nowhere have they even mentioned problems contributing to the degeneration of our society, like the erosion of values and standards, much less our growing anger, frustration, and propensity for violence, all without once talking about individual responsibility for the roles each of us play in its breakdown and what we can do to make the world a better place. I don't know what your politics are, and frankly, I don't care. Because what I'm talking about transcends politics. Whatever your beliefs, try to set them aside for a moment. For this is about us. People just like you and me, who aspire to more from our lives. Even while we struggle to live together without killing, harming, or taking advantage of each other. Perhaps it would help to stop for a moment, to talk about where we're going, or at least where we want to go. After all, it is the urge for this that is behind the Great Awakening. We're now transitioning from a world of domination and control into one of inspired individuality and cooperative effort. Or at least, the window is opening for us to make that choice. But the place we are now doesn't look that way, as the powers that be hold tighter to the reins of power to keep us in line, even while the people try to push them aside. We're mad as hell with the old ways, and many are ready to fight to change them. The problem is, too often we're fighting each other, rather than those in control, fighting to take back our sovereignty and clean up the mess created by those who have usurped it. Just look at Facebook or Twitter. Everyone's locked into their side's view of things, and ridicule and antagonize those that don't see it that way. It looks like everybody hates everybody else. It's such a sad way to live. Like the old radio show went, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Only the shadow knows for sure. Well, the shadow knows what evil lurks in all of us, tweaking our egos and playing upon our darkest aspects, all the while blocking out the light that would transform it all. But only we can defeat the evil and darkness that live within us. And if we're going to change the world, that's where we've got to start. When enough of us do, we'll move through this period of conflict into the golden age, where people realize all the fighting isn't taking them where they want to go, much less bringing peace and prosperity for all. As we move deeper through this time of changes into the age of Aquarius, peace and love and understanding will eventually become the norm, and not some pipe dream fed to us by clerics or dreamers. But getting there is going to be a rough ride, because people would rather fight than switch. Their identities are too wrapped up in the way they see things now, especially the tribal instincts that fuel their polarity and our political wars. But as Klaatu in the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still said, when we get to the precipice, we change. That precipice is getting closer. So it's a race to awaken and turn away, or to continue on our present course until we're all destroyed. I hope that we would do awaken. But to do so means we have to start seeing ourselves as something more than isolated egos, pitted against all others to carve out our place in the world. Self-interest must be balanced with caring and compassion, not out of altruism or social conscience, but because we see ourselves in others and them in us. And this is not something that can be accomplished by some all-powerful authority or tyrannical majority imposing its will upon us, but only by awakening to the light that shines within. Only then will we finally be able to put down the sword, not because it's taken away, but because we won't need it anymore. But this is not the world we live in now. Today, it's a dog-eat-dog world, where the spoils of life go to those with wealth and power, and those without it are left in the cold, fighting for scraps just to survive. It's a reflection of two attributes closely identified with the human condition, will and desire. Desire to get what we want and avoid what we don't, and the willingness to do whatever it takes to get our way, even if that means imposing our wills upon others to get it. Of course, there are many ways to get what we want. Working and earning the means to get it is preferred by society, but even that raises issues of ethics, morality, and doing the right thing. Not to mention the ever-present conflict of whose interests do we serve? Ours? Society's? Or God's? Others, though, are less constrained by ethics or morality, or define them subjectively to the exclusion of others' interests in favor of their own, or those of the groups they identify with. They have no problem taking what they want from others, even if it means using force or fraud to do it. And if stacking the deck in their favor will help them get it, then that's what they'll do. Remember the old adage, them that's got the gold make the rules. This is the consciousness at work in our political affairs, or rather its lack. Grand visions are espoused to convince the masses to give them power. Yet, those visions are not their purpose, but rather dangled as carrots for us to give them power so they can impose their views upon how things should be. And we let them do it because we pretend that they're doing it for us and that what they're doing will take us where we want to go. The new world, however, will not need leaders to make decisions for us. Rather, it will be one where egos subordinate their wills to the divine source within, taking great pains to overcome the distortions imposed by inner conditions that predispose us to selfishness and doing harm. And acting thus is empowered to serve the greater good without the ego getting in the way. Yet self-interest is not a condition society can drum out of us. Rather, it diminishes as we refine our ideas of who we are and what our lives are all about. And as we do, we'll develop a consciousness more attuned to the commonality and connections we share as cherished parts of all that is. All of this will happen by following the inner voice and doing the work necessary to hear and apply it in our lives. But we each have to want it for ourselves and take the steps that will allow it to happen. And that includes taking personal responsibility for the conduct of our common affairs and issues of governance. Over a decade ago, a concept was revealed to me that I call spiritual justice. It's behind the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, and Magna Carta, honoring the rights of the individual over those of the state. It goes like this. We each have the right to go our own way to get the experiences we came for, and the responsibility to allow others to do the same. Let me repeat that. We each have the right to go our own way to get the experiences we came for, but that right comes with the responsibility to allow others to do the same. Since every soul has the spiritual right to live the life it came for, no one-size-fits-all approach will enable that to happen. Since sovereignty resides with the individual over his or her life, then layers of the state that remove or reduce that sovereignty must be reduced. We have far more influence over what happens in our lives at a local level than we do nationally, where the politics of hate and division are more easily foisted upon us. Just look at what's happening in Catalonia and Spain as they're trying to pull back power from the central government so they can control their own affairs. It's the same principle. We need to bring back power to us at local levels. For us to get to the new world, our need for government, especially centralized government at national and global levels, has to diminish. Even state and regional governments will give way as well, as individuals assert their responsibility to live in peace with loving kindness toward each other. But that's not where we are today. Instead, we fight over who will force us to do what, all the while asserting the authority of government and their corporate partners to make us do what they want us to do. The establishment has become the enemy of the world we seek, for it has no interest in evolving to that place, unless they can control it and benefit from it along the way. That's not where they want to go. It's the clash of these forces that's behind the Great Awakening. For the establishment serves the interests of those with wealth and power to maintain the status quo. Those are the elites who sit at the upper crust of society, awash in money and power, and they're not afraid to use it. And they've recruited millions of others to act on their behalf, to advance their interests, offering them a little piece of power and influence and benefit along the way. And when they do, the needs of the people are usually ignored, at least until they can't be ignored any longer, lest the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. So what's an awakening soul to do? How are we to walk our talk while denied the exercise of our sovereignty? First, it's to call out the corruption and harm being done in our names and press leadership to clean house. And if they don't, than to use whatever power we have to put in people that will. This alone will take tremendous willpower, because we'll have to set aside our petty differences and partisan divides to have the strength to take on the global establishment. but this is the promise of populism, which in essence is an anti-elite movement to return power to the people. People who, for now, are being effectively splintered through the establishment's divide-and-conquer tactics. But it doesn't stop there. For those who are interested in another such effort, I recommend you check out the QAnon posts being analyzed on Gab and YouTube by Jerome Corsi. He shines a light on what's going on behind the scenes to address the deep state abuses here in the U.S. and abroad. I highly recommend him. Second, it's to live in ways that bring out the best that we have inside, with love and kindness, caring and compassion for all we meet, not just those who are on our side, or for causes that will benefit us or the things we want. You know, putting the golden rule in action. As one who once shared the message of love offered by Jesus to show us the way, I feel great sadness that it never took hold. For people don't treat each other like they love them, but rather as adversaries to be opposed at every turn. It's almost as if it's a sense of failure that those who believe in the golden rule must feel because of this inability. To get to the golden age, it's especially important to avoid the tendency to fight, as well as not to manipulate others or circumstances to get what we want. Remember, this inherent conflict is at the root of many of our problems. And if those who are awakening can't start the process, there's little hope for the rest of mankind. Third, it's to band together with others of like mind, who share our visions and ideals, and do business with organizations and institutions that live up to the principles we hold most dear. And just as importantly, to avoid those that don't. This means not trying to go it alone. Individually is admirable. It's the reason we're here. We're each at the center of our own universes. But to move beyond the conflict requires we evolve toward an integrated whole, where we can work in loose-knit coordination guided from within. Whether that means building community, participating in cooperative projects, or getting involved in social movements, you'll know what to do when the time comes. Your inner voice will tell you, if you can hear it, and if you have the will to follow it. Only together can we get where we're going. And someone has to set an example and show everyone else the way. I hope you're one of those who will. But it really isn't about rallying others to our cause or trying to force our ways upon anyone. Rather, it's simply to do our best to neutralize the harm now being done without creating more through our own distorted perceptions and misapplied inspirations. And on the flip side, to bring out our best attributes rather than our worst while following our own joy and passions. And trust that they will lead us where we need to go. This evolution isn't something we can force. It will only happen organically, one heart and one mind at a time, as each opens to the light that shines within. Eventually, those who fail to awaken will fall by the wayside. Until then, our job is to neutralize the harm that they do, while acting as if the future we want is already here, and to conduct ourselves accordingly. That means going with love in all that you think, say, and do. That is the true promise of the Great Awakening. God bless you indeed. I am John.
You have been listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls move in a better way through a blue pill world. For more information, visit us at peaceoptions.com to explore how you can find your peace through knowing yourself and following your inner voice. Or at missionlaunch.com, where we offer coaching and consulting to help you make the difference in your world.